Are all the shots we get safe? Which ones can you do without? Which ones can't you? If you don't get your shots, are you putting your friends at risk? What if your neighbors don't get their shots? According to a recent C.S. Moss national poll, 9 out of 10 parents rank vaccine safety as the most important topic in children's health research today. By comparison, you might think that pet shots would be a snap. After all, imagine what would happen if we did not vaccinate our dogs.
Lassie, here, Lassie, good girl. Oh, Lassie, I'm so glad that you're up to date on your rabies shots. Wait, Lassie, you're not up to date on your rabies shots. Lassie, what is the white foam coming out of your mouth?
Dogs and cats need rabies shots, plus shots for distemper and whatever other shots your vet recommends. That's why I thought pet guardians in Boulder and pet owners everywhere else take dogs and cats to the animal clinic every year for updates on their shots. But then, back in 2009, I signed up to get acupuncture and spinal adjustments for our creaky-jointed 10-year-old Labrador retriever named Brian. This does reveal my personal bias. I live in Boulder, and I get acupuncture for our dog from a Longmont veterinarian named Dave McCluggage.
You're a wiggle worm.
Brian, down. Lie down.
Come on.
Good boy.
That tail is just going 100 miles an hour.
Acupuncture for dogs sounded like an interesting story, but McCluggage said he had a better one that involves what he thinks about vaccinations, which is this. Once a pet has finished all its puppy or kitten shots, he believes it doesn't need boosters. In other words, McCluggage says that first childhood series of shots probably protect a dog or cat for life. This makes McCluggage a very unusual and controversial vet. He says that for him, it started like this.
Long, long time ago, I was thinking of buying a clinic from this one veterinarian, and I found out that he didn't think it was appropriate to vaccinate dogs that had been 8 or 10 years of age. And I thought at the time, well, that's weird. This guy is awfully odd. And then I come to realize later on, of course, that all vaccines are mostly good for life after that.
Now, is it just for the life of a dog because dogs don't live as long? Like humans, do we need vaccines more often, or is it, what's going on here?
Well, mostly people, the vaccines for people are good for life, sometimes not completely good for life. Like the polio vaccine, we used to think it was absolutely good for life, but then we think, well, maybe it's only good for 50 years or something like that. But mostly vaccines are good for life. There's vaccines that aren't good for life, like the tetanus vaccine for lockjaw in people, where they recommend it every 8 years right now.
But for dogs, they don't live long enough for their cells to forget what the vaccine did.
No, that's exactly right. They're not living those long periods of times. They're living much shorter periods of times. And probably the best way to look at it is, are dogs really getting these diseases much? And the answer is no, they're really not. I think no matter, there's lots of dogs that are owned by poor people around the country that don't get all these shots for their dogs. They just don't have the money to do it. And these dogs are not picking up diseases. So there's a good clinical trial going out there, the population of all the dogs, it shows it's good forever. Plus, nobody's really ever shown in any study that vaccines are anything other than good for life. In other words, every time any study has been done for any length of time, it showed that the immunity persisted.
In dogs.
In dogs, right. Uh-huh.
Before giving any vaccine, McCluggage says it's important to weigh its risk-benefit ratio.
So what you have to do is you have to say to yourself, is the benefits outweighing the risk of having an adverse effect from the vaccine?
Well, with humans, we're told that the adverse reactions are incredibly, incredibly rare. Is that the case with dogs?
Well, it's probably not as rare in my mind as people say to start with.
You mean with humans?
Yes, with people. What they do is they use the immediate, if something happens in the first hours or day or week after the vaccine was given, they might look at those things. If the problem occurs sometime down the road, months down the road, they assume it's due to something else.
it starts to blend in with all the other possibilities. Now, are dogs like people in how long it takes for the adverse reaction to show up, or is it more obvious?
I think that the typical reaction takes a long time with a person or a dog, not the immediate ones. The long-term problems are like where we get an autoimmune reaction due to the vaccine, and then the kidneys, a thing called the glomerulus in the kidneys can get plugged up with proteins. And every time you get a vaccine, you can get some of that damage happening. And then over time, more of these glomeruli, or part of the kidney tissue, dies off with each vaccine. So each year in and year out, when you keep getting vaccines, you slowly get more kidney disease. Without the vaccine being given, you don't get the glomerular disease developing. That's just one example. There's lots of causes of glomerular diseases in the kidneys.
What are the symptoms? Skin problems?
Well, for that one, the symptom is just kidney failure, but it happens literally when the animal's 10, 12 years of age and the vaccine's been given forever, so you never know that it ever occurred. We also think that when you mention skin disease, personally, I believe that all allergies, skin allergies in dogs, are worsened with repeated vaccines.
In other words, it might not cause the skin allergy necessarily, but it sure doesn't add anything good to the allergies or the autoimmune conditions that are building up.
Right. The allergy is something that's genetically predisposed to. And from there, how much of it you develop depends upon the diet and whether they're vaccinated. Those are the two biggest things.
With all this that you've said, Dr. Dave McCluggage, do you ever vaccinate pets?
Oh, yes. We think that it's important to use vaccines in animals. What we do for animals is we look at the need for the vaccine, meaning if we have a disease that, number one, kills the animal, could kill them if the animal got the disease, and then, two, we look at whether the vaccine works to prevent that. And those are the basic criteria that you should use for a vaccine. Does the disease kill, and does the vaccine effectively stop the problem? There are diseases that are like that. Distemper and parvo, common diseases, that's the other criteria, that it has to be reasonably likely to happen, not like this hepatitis that's been extinct for 50 years. Even though hepatitis can kill the animal, why do you continue to vaccinate for something we haven't seen for 50 years? But distemper and parvo, commonly seen, can kill the animal, likely to kill the animal if they get it, and the vaccines are incredibly effective at stopping it. So those are excellent vaccines to use.
How often do you give them?
We give those vaccines as puppies, and then we'll give them their last puppy shot at 16 weeks of age. And then a year later, we'll either revaccinate them for distemper and parvo, or we'll run titer tests to see that the immunity worked the first time.
A titer test is a way to measure biomarkers in the blood. Basically, McCluggage was saying that rather than guessing about whether or not a pet's immunity has started kicking in, an animal doctor can do a blood draw, then analyze whether the sought-after immune system markers are at the right level to protect against disease. This means that if a titer test shows immune markers are high enough, the next standard shot in a vaccination series might be skippable. If the titers are low, the animal might benefit from one more shot than vets typically give. Or if titers for general inflammation markers are starting to rise, it might mean that the shots are creating an autoimmune reaction and the pet needs a gentler or a more drawn-out vaccination schedule. How about after that first year?
After the first year, we don't do anything else.
Now, in this story of animals and vaccinations, let us take a few pause to consider what appeared at the time to be the wildly controversial viewpoint from this animal doctor. After a puppy finishes all its puppy shots for rabies, distemper, and parvo, Dave McCluggage doesn't recommend any more shots. No annual boosters, not even three-year boosters. He's been doing this for 20 years, and he says that his dog and cat clients don't come down with distemper or parvo with any more frequency than other dogs and cats that do get all these booster shots. By giving no booster shots, he adds that he's seen fewer allergies,
and fewer pets with kidney failure. But what about boosters for the disease, the one that pet owners fear the most?
Oh, Lassie. Good dog. So glad you're up to date on your vaccination shots, especially rabies. Wait. I see you're not up to date on your rabies shots. Wait, Lassie, what's that? White foam coming out of your mouth? No, no, Lassie, no.
Rabies in American pets is incredibly rare. The only recent cases in Colorado have involved a horse and a cow. Those are animals that get rabies so rarely, hardly anyone gives them rabies shots. This horse, somehow, freakishly, got infected by maybe a rabid bat or a skunk. Something similar must have happened to the cow. On the other hand, it's easy for dogs and cats to catch rabies. That's why rabies shots are mandatory for them, and it has made a difference. At the dawn of the 20th century, hundreds of Americans died every year from rabid dog and cat attacks. These days, maybe one or two Americans get rabies, usually from rabid bats. There are rabid raccoons, rabid fox. In Colorado, rabid skunks are on the rise, and all these wild, rabid animals can interact with pets, which then interact with us. If we stopped vaccinating dogs and cats, human rabies cases would skyrocket. So, if Dave McCluggage doesn't give booster shots for distemper or parvo,
what about something like rabies, where if a pet contracted that disease, it puts all kinds of other creatures, including the pet guardians, at risk?
Rabies is required by law, and so we don't really need to worry too much about your question in that it's just required to do it. But to go into the specifics about your question, rabies hasn't been seen in Colorado in 40-some years in a dog or cat. So it's exceptionally rare in animals. And the reason it's rare in dogs and cats is because the vaccine works so well. All animals, almost all dogs and cats, will get at least one rabies or two rabies shots. That is often all they get, again, within the poorer sections of the population.
And that's enough to hold most dogs and cats for life, or as far as we know, maybe all of them.
Well, it seems to, because we have all these animals that are that have had a rabies shot or two, but not anything more than that. And there's a lot of wildlife rabies, and none of the dogs and cats are getting rabies, so they must be getting protected for extended periods of time, or you would think that sooner or later one of them might start getting it.
McCluggage says that official vaccine research does not confirm his observations, but that's probably because no lab has ever tested rabies vaccines long enough. If someone ever did fund a 10-year rabies study, McCluggage says it would probably show that for 10 full years, the puppy and kitten shots give 100% protection. If the study lasted 15 years, it'd probably show full protection for 15 years. If someone ever did similar studies with distemper and with parvo vaccinations, McCluggage says those would probably demonstrate lifelong protection as well. Now, he does recommend the 3-year rabies boosters as required by law. But to minimize an animal's overall risk of adverse reactions, he doesn't give other boosters, such as for distemper and parvo. And he doesn't give any of what he calls lifestyle shots. Take the Bordetella vaccine that's often required if your pet's lifestyle includes an occasional boarding kennel. The Bordetella shot is supposed to protect against kennel cough. McCluggage says it doesn't.
Kennel cough is just a common term meaning upper respiratory disease or cold. 95% of all the colds or upper respiratory diseases in dogs are viruses that we're not vaccinating for. Only 5% of them include Bordetella. So we're using a vaccine for the exceptionally unlikely event.
Back in 2009, McCluggage said that some pets have come to him with a history of crazy vaccinations. For instance, he said, you can get a pre-bite, just-in-case, rattlesnake vaccine. He says that's silly. it's risking more adverse reactions from the shot, and if a dog ever does get bitten, the vaccine doesn't make any difference. Then, there's a vaccine for Lyme disease. That's an East Coast tick disease that's not in Colorado. He said another dumb one was the vaccine for a diarrhea-causing ailment called Giardia. McCluggage says the vaccine can give a dog Giardia, and he mentioned gray area shots, such as leptospirosis and feline leukemia. He says they do protect against illnesses, but the diseases are generally uncommon, they're treatable, and the risks of adverse reactions from the shots are high enough they don't pass his risk-benefit test. As for vets who give boosters for those common, dangerous diseases of distemper and parvo, he says it's okay if they give 3-year boosters, but there's no excuse for annual shots.
Even the American Animal Hospital Association, the American Veterinary Medical Association, have all said that these vaccines seem to be good for at least 3 years, but they're still doing it once a year, the veterinary community. And they do it for a number of reasons that I guess you would call practice management reasons, meaning they're using these vaccines to pull animals in the door. They say that that is going to save more animals because when the animal comes in for yearly shots, then they can do a physical, they can find problems, they can update the client on health issues, things like that. All those things are important to do, but we differ in our philosophy in that I refuse to give the vaccine to draw them in the door. I just tell them I need to see them routinely.
You think that it's not just a matter of wasting vaccines unnecessarily for marketing, but it actually hurts pets. It hurts dogs and cats to have too many vaccines.
That's right. I think it actually hurts the animal to have too many vaccines, but also it shifts the consciousness of the owner into thinking they've done everything they need to do by giving their animal a vaccine. In other words, they're emphasizing the vaccine as what needs to be done for the health of the animal in the people's minds because they get a reminder card that says, we need to get your dog in for vaccines. What they need to be doing is telling people, we need to get your dog in because we need to check his teeth all the time. We need to check his joints all the time. We need to make sure he's on a good diet. So in other words, we need to shift the outlook of people and the way that they think about their animal to the real health concerns and not that, okay, I've just done everything I need to do for my animal because I got him vaccinated again.
Two more questions. First is, do many other veterinarians share your perspective on this?
The veterinarians at the universities would not quibble about the basis of what I'm saying. In fact, all of them basically believe, all the researchers in vaccines agree with what I've been saying. The veterinarians in practice would say, well, vaccines are, you're overstating how much the vaccines hurt the animal, and so therefore it's fine to continue to vaccinate.
Next question, second question. Are you going to get in trouble if we broadcast this?
It'll be controversial. I will be, you know, people will be talking to me about this, yes. But the general information I'm giving out is information that's been known for some time now. And the specifics would vary. The way that somebody would interpret the specific information would vary by the doctor and by the researcher and by the general practitioner. But the basic information is accurate. Vets are vaccinating more because they're worried about the general health of the animal and they think the vaccine's harmless. And I think that the vaccine can be harmful and it's more important to emphasize general health and get the animal in for these health exams.
McCluggage says that pets would be better off with fewer shots. But what if he was just some kind of a hippie vet who's making out statistics? Or what if, after all, he is a vet? So what if vaccination is just his pet peeve? It was time to do some animal vaccination investigation. And an obvious place to sniff out answers was one with lots of pets.
So that's Abby. She's an older dog who has relinquished, and I think that she really wants to be adopted.
Every year, the Boulder Valley Humane Society takes in over 8,000 animals.
Hey guys.
They do a great job finding homes for them.
So they're happy to see us.
Nationwide, only 60% of shelter animals get adopted. At the Boulder Valley Humane Society, it's more like 90%. As part of making this happen, the Humane Society makes sure all their animals are healthy. So if you ever take a tour, you won't come home with a nasty bug. Although you might come home with an adorable pet. Humane societies take care of so many animals, they have to stretch every penny. So they're not into vaccinating for everything. But for young animals or adults that don't have vaccination records, a staff veterinarian says they do give shots for rabies and the other really common things, such as parvo and distemper.
My name is Dr. Leslie Groshong. We focus on the core vaccinations, which upon arrival, the cats get a distemper combination. So it's for feline distemper, upper respiratory disease called FVRCP. And then the dogs get kind of the canine equivalent, which is distemper, hepatitis, and parvo. And they also get
Bordetella. Now, so far, the Humane Society and the Holistic Vet were mostly in sync. For rabies, they both recommend booster shots every 3 years, as required by law. But McCluggage believes the puppy and kitten shots are good for life, so he doesn't give boosters for common diseases such as distemper and parvo. Groshong says the Humane Society Clinic does do boosters every 3 years.
There's some speculation that it probably does last longer than that, but what we have to be aware of is if everybody lapses, then we lose that, what we call a herd protection. We're seeing an upswing in parvo and distemper disease because there's been some lax in people maintaining those vaccinations.
Parvo causes vomiting and diarrhea, and it can kill a dog, and it is common. As proof, Groshong led the way to a restricted access area of the Humane Society Clinic, where she introduced sad-eyed parvo puppies.
So these are two parvo puppies. Turbo, we thought we were going to lose Turbo the first night, but he's been on IV fluids and IV antibiotics for 3 days now, and he's starting to eat a little bit and stopped vomiting yesterday.
How can puppies that did have parvo puppy shots get so sick? Groshong says it's often like this. A family adopts a puppy before it's old enough for the full series of puppy shots. Then the owners don't follow through and get the rest. She says that's how Smokey became a parvo puppy.
His family assumed that he had finished his vaccinations after he left the shelter, when in fact he really hadn't. He was still vulnerable and was exposed to parvovirus somewhere in our community and got sick.